Rational discussion, common sense, open debate. RCR, Reality Check Radio with Paul Brennan.
All right, to the possible causes behind the grounding and sinking of the HMNZS Manawanui Saturday on a Samoan reef. And joining us again here at RCR with over 18,000 hours serving on 16 dynamic position vessels, that's important, in various ranks, from junior dynamic positioning officer all the way to captain, our favourite and very own, RCR's very own ship captain, Kevin Judkins, is back with us. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. Fine, thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to appear on your show.
Okay, dynamic position vessels. Was the Manawanui one of those vessels?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was built in Norway for Norwegian oil field conditions, and she's a DP Class 2 dynamic position vessel.
A natural Navy vessel, though, or sort of like in a halfway house?
No, definitely not a natural Navy vessel. She's top of the line for what she was at the time. So the New Zealand Navy certainly bought a fine vessel. They paid well over the odds for it. Ron Mark should be whipped for that one. But she's a good vessel and would be good for surveying. Certainly a top-line vessel.
Okay, so what were your initial thoughts when you, well, you heard the news but saw the images, and we all try to be armchair experts. You're an actual expert. So what did you make of what you saw initially?
Oh, sad, really, really sad. Never a good day when you see a ship on the bricks like that. I just wondered how it happened, and we haven't yet been given any real positive details of events leading up to the actual grounding itself. But once she was on the bricks, it was only a one-way street there.
So there would be a few possibilities as to how the vessel ended up there. Should we go through some of them? What about the status of engines?
Well, that's one thing that Minister Collins alluded to in one of her press statements, but then did a bit of a backtrack. She said that indicated that they had lost power prior to going on the reef. That would indicate then that it drifted onto the reef. If that was the case, one has to ask, why were the anchors not deployed while she was drifting? The other option is she said that she was still motoring, and therefore she was accidentally driven onto the reef or struck an uncharted rock or the bommie, which is a coral outcrop.
So if you're drifting, the energy behind the drift is less than if the engines were running, I'm picking.
That's correct, yes. So probably in that close proximity to the reef, she would only be doing two or three knots, but a driving impact would have a greater force than a drifting impact, yes.
So would two or three knots rip a big hole that would sink? I mean, maybe it can. I don't know about coral, but it seems like that would be more if you drove it on, right? Then you get that.
That's correct. The hole, there might not have been a hole initially. She might just have been grounded, but then with a Pacific swell, one and a half to 2 meters there, just slowly grinding up and down, then what might be just an indentation and stranded on the rocks of coral, then eventually swell rising up and down would create a small hole, which would soon become a big hole. And she's got quite a significant size engine room. The reserve buoyancy of an engine room is quite significant on a vessel that size. So once she's lost that reserve buoyancy, so it's holed and filling with water, then there's very little chance of saving the vessel.
Though it's full of thrusters and propulsion devices, you'd think that there was if you still had power, you could still maneuver, even if you'd, I mean, what do I know, but even if you're up against a reef.
Yes, there was some of the reports said they tried to get off the reefs. That would indicate that they still had propulsion power. She's got four diesel engines coupled up to four electric generators, and they go into a switchboard. The switchboard has buzz ties, which are big breakers. So if she's operating in proper DP Class 2, then we'd have two engines on the port side, two engines on the starboard side. They would each be providing electric power to the port and starboard switchboards independently. So if the starboard side failed, well, the port side engine room would still be able to provide power, and that would provide power to a minimum of one of the stern azimuth thrusters and one of the bow thrusters, enabling her to, if you like, get out of trouble. It's quite common in the oil industry that when a
a vessel of that type is within the 500 meter range zone of an oil rig, they are in DP class two. So they have their switchboard split, got a port side engine running, a starboard side engine running, so that if there is an issue and contact with the rig, then they can always limp out on one engine room and one thruster, one bow thruster to get out of trouble.
So it would have been a panic on board, I mean, given your experience, and I don't think you've sunk a ship yet, so maybe you haven't quite been there. But obviously it gets you by surprise, or there is a surprise moment. And then is it a matter of what, keeping a clear head, working through checklists and being sort of methodical and trying to work out your position as soon as possible? Is that the mindset that operates?
That's the mindset, yes. There would not be panic on a naval vessel. They're very well trained. So the fact that they all got off just with minor injuries is a credit to them. But they're trained for that sort of thing. It's like the yacht that sank in the Midi a few months ago, the Bayesian. The people that survived the sinking were the crew. They're trained. They do regular abandoned ship drills. So they got out, whereas the passengers didn't. So I wouldn't have expected anything less. In relatively benign conditions, that they it was quite would have been quite a calm and methodical abandon of the vessel.
There was a fire, and there's been talk of biofuels. Have you got any thoughts on what might cause a fire? Would that be electrical things shorting out? We heard that there was 1,000 tons of diesel oil on the ship and biofuel. Don't know about that. What are your thoughts on the fuel and the fire matters?
Right, the fire occurred just before she sunk. Ships of that type, they have what's called UPS, uninterruptible power systems. They are battery powered banks providing 240 volt power for the electrical and electronic gear on board. So you think of each UPS system as a bank of 20 12 volt batteries in series to provide 240 volt backup power. Right. So even though when they abandoned the vessel, the generators would have been shut down, those UPS systems would still be active. And once they got wet, there'd be some shorting, and that would be the likely cause of the fire. They're just a standard battery surrounded in plastic, so they generate enough heat that they can eventually self-combust. So that'd be the likely cause of the fire.
Yeah, there was a reasonable amount of smoke, though, and you could see flame. So it wasn't a tiny fire. Would the size of the fire sort of work with what you've just said then?
That's correct. They're all plastic encased, and they could be lithium batteries as well. They may, the newer vessels, they may have replaced the lead acid with lithium. So once you get heat involved, it's like an electric car going up. You know, very, very difficult to put that fire out.
And people have been taking, well, they're probably cheap shots at this point, you know, DEI hire women as captains. I'm taking it there are plenty of female ship captains in the world these days, and they have seamless operation. We never hear about it, right?
That's correct. A very, very low number, but I've sailed with some very, very competent females. There's a pilot, Joanne, who's just retired from a Littleton Harbour Board. She's been a pilot there for decades, and there's a young pilot in Gladstone I've worked with, Kate. She's superb. So no, sex. One's gender has got nothing to do with one's ability to perform the task.
And how long would you expect? Just to wind up, Kevin. How long would you expect an inquiry or investigation into this sort of incident to take?
Well, I would be disappointed if it was private. But in the oil industry, if there's a significant incident, the industry puts out a quick share within 48 hours. So say there's an incident where someone is injured or has potential for a breakage, then they flash that around through the fleet. If it's a major event, then they flash it around the industry. So I would be very, very disappointed that if it was held in secret, and the facts should be brought to the surface very, very quickly. But disappointed in Minister Collins and the Navy saying, oh, we're going to go to the Secret Service and it's all going to be private. We're not saying anything till the full report is done. Well, this is taxpayers' money, $100 million of taxpayers' money. We have paid for this vessel. We have a right to know exactly what happened, what went right, and what went wrong.
and what steps would be taken to prevent it occurring again.
Before you go, Kevin, just a quick comment. There've also been some other incidents, power loss with one of the Cook Strait ferries in the Strait. And I know we've talked about those things before, and that's not necessarily too much of a panic because you're in open water. They seem to be hitting wharves on regular occasions now. Got anything to say about those recent incidents?
Not so much hitting wharves, but manoeuvring big vessels in close proximity at low speed with high windage areas. It's a contact sport, and there's always been throughout the history of the rail ferries. There's always been contact with the wharf in one form or another. It's just a matter of the speed. If the if a gust gets you at the wrong time, when you're committed to the turn or approach of the wharf, then it's not a major issue. The one that could be an issue is the blackout in the Cook Strait. And that's, I believe, is caused by fuel contamination. SRBs, they're called sulfur or sulfate reducing bacteria, which can create slime and sludge in the tank. And that can clog up oil filters and clog up injectors in the diesel engines as well. So that's could be a major issue with reference to if it was a fuel-induced engine failure, then those would be the things I would be looking at.
All right, Captain Kevin Judkins, nice to have you back on RCR. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, I hope that explains a few things. This is RCR.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.